Satnam, hello. I want to introduce someone who is very near and dear to me, Marla Maples. And people have so much connected with the name. And I just want to tell you that what you have connected with her name, whatever it is, let go of it. And
oh.
Get to know the real Marla Maples, who is an amazingly kind, compassionate, expansive being whose life is really about creating peace through her music and her smile. And really, I've walked into restaurants with her before, and she like embraces the waiters and the waitresses, and her kindness is so much more than you could ever know. So, you know, disassociate what you know her with and get ready to know her on a completely new level. Thanks for being on the call, Marla. I look so forward to playing with you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Well, I hope most of you already know me, because I've been out here for 10 years just sharing and loving. And, you know, every step is about how we grow and how we can give back to this beautiful planet and this beautiful life that we have. And, you know, from the radio show to the music to anything, I hope, you know, I hope that, you know, we can just feel the hearts of each other. And I only feel goodness. All I can tell you, Guru Tej, whatever it is, I just feel goodness and beauty radiating all around. And I only feel that association. And that's the world that I, you know, walk in. And that's the reality of heaven on earth that I believe we're here to create.
And it's true. And we get to talk today about a subject that a lot of people would not think of as heaven on earth. And that is, you know, our relationships in our life that support us and sustain us, and those that really challenge us. And what happens in those situations that we tend to put on, you know, weight on every level. We tend to gain physical weight sometimes, but always gain baggage. And how do we get rid of those things that weigh us down by looking through different glasses?
Right.
So I'm going to let you just talk first. I'm just not even going to ask you a question. I'm just going to say, Marla, I just want you to share the things that you have experienced that have been the most profound for you in this arena.
I like how you, you know, brought the subject in, because you and I have so many things we can talk about, body, mind, and soul, and we love and we live by how we can improve ourselves, you know, all the time, and we listen to others and we share. It's a beautiful circle of light and sharing in our lives. But you talked about the things we, you know, hold on to, and I remember about 20 years ago, I was in a lovely relationship with a then young musician, and he said to me, he says, "My goodness, you have a lot of baggage you're carrying with you." I said, "I do," you know, because we come into, so often we do come into new relationships carrying, you know, old relationships with us. And I learned, you know, really early on in my 20s that how important it is to really be able to shed that weight that's not serving us anymore, and be, you know, fresh in the moment with who's sitting right before us. And, you know, often these lives that we've led have felt so big and so all-encompassing, and, you know, we get trapped in this feeling that our problems are bigger than anyone's. And, you know, that's a bit of a disillusionment, because no matter who you are, if you're walking in this human body, you know, there are challenges that will come in our way. And mine came, you know, so many of my heart challenges did come in my teenage years and then through my 20s. And I often walked around feeling a bit like a victim in many circumstances. And by the time I was in my, you know, 30s, I really learned how to take responsibility for my own choices and what that, you know, created cause and effect wise in my own life. So I think, you know, the most important thing is to look at these relationships we've had in the past that, you know, we feel a little pain wrapped around, and just embrace them in a new light, embrace them with an energy of love. My ex-husband's very out there in the world right now. I can't jump onto a treadmill or turn on the TV with my tea in the morning without seeing him playing out because of his potential run for presidency. And, you know, it forces me at many moments throughout the day to just, okay, no judgments, just in love and, you know, allow, you know, he has his voice. I have my voice. You have your voice. We have to allow other people to have their voices, and we can expect that their lessons have been the same as ours. So therefore, their choices may not be the same as ours. So it's constantly as joyful and happy as people may, you know, see my life and see me as I am joyful and happy, but it's because I still constantly, you know, do have to work on it. Yeah.
That's such a big deal, you know, of like looking at somebody else and going, I've actually had people say this to me, I want your life. And I'm thinking, really? Do you have any idea? You know, people think that about you too. I know I've been with you and I've watched people and I've seen like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, they don't know. And I want you to share, like, when you're confronted with something, what is your best technique in the moment to deal with that? You were saying that you now get to see, you know, Donald all over the TV doing that. What is your, I know that you're more disconnected from him as part of you at this moment, you know, or that what he says is a reflection of you or anything like that. But
yeah.
But what do you actually say to yourself when you see him doing something that, you know, in one perspective you can think, wow, that is really a ridiculous statement?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? It's almost like when you go home for Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner, and you realize that you're all sitting there on different ends of the political spectrum, and it's constantly learning how to really not judge, and it's so
hard.
You know, judge not ye be judged. And I have the red string, you know, from the tomb of Rachel around my arm as a reminder. And, you know, and it's still, I'm human. And, you know, certain things I may hear in a conversation or see played out in the news, I'm just, oh, it just hurts, you know, because I'm like, oh, just don't say that. But but then, you know, it's their path. You know, whoever that there is in your life, you know, embrace, it's their path. And, you know, the most important thing I think for us is staying clear on what our purpose and our motivation is, and not letting what other people are doing, you know, really affect that beautiful life that you really want to, you know, step into. You know, I was at the gym. I had a crazy busy day. It started early. I was recording a pre-tape for my radio show and workers in the house, and I had an appointment in Beverly Hills with an incredible woman working in brain mapping with autistic kids. And I said, you know what, this day I'm going to sit down with my friend Guru Tesh. I'm going to go to the gym and just run and get all this stress out of my body, feel good. And then I hopped up on that treadmill, and on every station was my ex-husband. And I had a giggle, but I couldn't help but want to listen, you know. You know what? There's a million opinions out there about everyone. People have had their opinions about me, and you will always have opinions. And you know, it will bring you more joy if you just learn to, you know, allow. And just, I can stand there and watch and agree with some points, you know, as far as how to run this country as a business, but other things I may not agree on without getting political. But I really can be grateful that I had the experience that I had, and that now I can choose to live my life walking it in more freedom. And you know, even though there are other challenges that come with not being married to a billionaire, you know, there's definitely challenges I maybe wouldn't have had financially if I'd stayed married. But the reality is, I can worship how I choose. I can walk a path with friends that I, you know, that I choose, and raise my daughter in a beautiful way, supportive roles where we can have specific time with each other that's not kind of, you know, having to be separated for time I have to do for business, you know, with my, you know, ex-husband as I would have if I'd still been married. But just learning to send love. I'm telling you, no matter how it is, if you're feeling that kind of that aggressive nature coming up, just like convert it in that moment. Just say, child of God, in love, and be grateful for the lessons that you had when you were there, and you know, watch it unfold. I mean, I support him with love. I want to see him flourish. I want to see him be happy. You know, that's the point. We live in a time where if we can create joy and happiness in our most difficult relationships, then we will start, you know, to see it reflected in the world. So
well, I'd like to say that what you're talking about is that I think there's a line of knowing when you're in a relationship and you need to work through things, and knowing when you're in a relationship that you actually need to move away to that from that relationship, or you're going to die on a soul level or on some really deep level, that you're going to die if you don't move away from that relationship.
Yeah.
And I think that that's really an important distinction, and there's no magic potion that will tell you this is the time, this is the moment, but it's having enough trust in yourself that you listen to your intuition, and we know when we're lying to ourselves and when we're putting on and when we're making believe, and when we really go, you know what, this is no longer serving anyone, and I need to move in a different direction so that I still have some semblance of me.
Yes, yes. I really believe that relationships both ways are about how can we lift each other up? How can we help each other become, you know, the very best of who we are? I mean, that's my desire. I want to improve every day. I want to grow every day. And if I do find that mate to spend my life with, I really, really want to be able to support his growth also. So if you're not serving that higher good with each other, I think that is when you have to really look at it and be willing to take a step to help you walk into your divine path, which may not necessarily be with that person in your life. You know, I like to see relationships work. And
I agree with you. And I mean, I'm in one of those relationships right now where we don't live together. We live in two separate states because he has a spiritual practice and lives in a spiritual community, and I am in Los Angeles, part of this community, and neither one of us are bugging the other one. Even though we would love to live together, there's neither one of us bugging the other one to move, knowing that the other one will know, whoever knows, we'll both know when it's time that we need to shift that to be physically together.
And those moves can come quick. In this world where everything's moving so fast, you know, I think you're living here today and you're living somewhere else tomorrow.
Yes. No, that is absolutely, yes, you're open to that. That's what we're talking about. You're open to that, because the same thing with the judgment is we have certain things set up in our mind that create huge weights in our mind of how things are supposed to be in relationship. And in being able to move quickly, it means that you've given up how you think they should be, the way that they should look and how stable they should be and how this person should act and all of those kinds of things, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. And I, most of you listening and probably have a family member that pushes all your buttons and you know, hopefully it's not your husband, but of course we know many marriages it is the mate. But, you know, how do you create, you know, positive, important boundaries also where you can love the person but still really have that time to nurture yourself without being selfish, but it's really about being selfless and nourishing yourself so you can walk without being reactive when the challenges come. And, you know, the reactive nature is really felt, you know, around the world. That it's energy. It's energy set in motion. So what can you do to be more proactive than reactive? And what can you do to just, you know, be able to step away when you need to to take your breath, do your yogic breaths and postures. And it may only take a minute, you know, it may take you 20, but just being conscious that, you know what, I need to bring the breath of life in, as you teach so beautifully, and release it. And then I'll go back, you know, calmer and able to, you know, be with that person in my life again.
I think that's such a beautiful thing, because it's sometimes we think that we have to work everything out in the moment.
Yeah.
And sometimes we really just need to get space, mental space, psychic space, soul space, to actually see what the best way in to the other person is.
Yeah.
Because when you react, you are creating a lot of weight, because what you're doing is you're creating karmic holds on yourself, because you're reacting instead of acting in a conscious way. And we all do it. And it's like, but as you create more and more conscious patterns in your life, you get a chance to actually live those in the moment, because that's the most important thing. Meditating is really, really important. Living that throughout the day, like you said, you got to the gym and you got on the treadmill and everywhere. It was like Donald everywhere in stereo, right? So what do you do with that?
Yeah,
or somebody, you know, your husband comes up or your partner comes up and they say it, you know, one more time to you, something really, really critical. And all you want to do is bark back.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, you just take a breath. You know, I love break breath for this, just four-part break breath, you know, inhaling four parts, exhaling four parts. But you can just take a sipping breath. You can do any kind of breath you can to, like, go, no. There's a really cool breath where you actually bite down on your tongue, just very lightly, and you suck in through the sides of the mouth so that you just don't say that thing that you thought you wanted to say in that moment, but that creates, you know, when somebody says karmic debt, what they really mean is you acted in a way that was against the essence of you. And in that acting against the essence of you, you acted against the essence of the other person as well. And that's what causes conflict, you know. It doesn't mean that you, it means that you're against the other person. You know, sometimes just try, when you want to talk to the other person, sit down next to them as opposed to across from them. Because next to them, you can just turn around and look at them, but you're on the same side. When you're across from, it's adversarial. That's what they do in, you know, all legal negotiations. You sit across from the person that you're having that legal situation with. So try just that one thing, and you don't have to work things out in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You also don't have to stuff them down and create this huge burden that you're carrying around with you.
Mm-hmm.
What do we call it? Grudges.
Mm-hmm.
They're really heavy, those damn grudges, aren't they?
Mm. Yeah, how many pounds are you going to put on your shoulders to lift? You know? Yeah, I mean, I think it's all about being, you know, anti-gravity now. The more we can shed of our ego and our, you know, reliance on someone else for our happiness, the more free we are to literally spread our wings and start really living and enjoying our lives. I think it's time.
And you know what it does? If you really do that, whether you're in a relationship or you, because we're all in relationships continuously, but in an intimate relationship or not, you'll find that you have a freedom and a lightness and a joy that you'll bring back into that relationship that will allow, if it's renewable, it will become renewable. We talk about renewable energy sources, but what about our renewable energy source? You know, like, how do you renew yourself? And I'd like you all to make a list of, like, how do you renew yourself best? Just write down five things, you know, take a bath, take a walk, you know, walk on the beach, take a run, get to the gym, whatever it is for you. Write them down and make sure you do at least one of those every single day.
And look at the little signs around you. I mean, I'm looking out my window now and a precious little hummingbird just came right outside. I mean, as the universe is sending you little gifts to remind you that life here is so much bigger than our problems really are. and just be open to see those little gifts that really will come your way. And the busyness is hard, but finding the silence. And, you know, I have friends and family that we visit, and the TV's always on. And you know, if that's not the way you can live your life, relaxing with the TV on all the time, just take the moment, sneak in the other room, sneak out the front door, whatever you need to do.
Right,
You know.
right. And you know, even being in your car without any sound, like giving yourself the time that you're in your car to like just 10, 15 minutes, just no radio, no nothing. Just see if you can actually, the most amazingly challenging thing that you can ever do and the most amazing is be with yourself. Be able to be with yourself and feel that you are absolutely miraculous. And the more that you can do that, I mean, I can give you 20 million meditations, you know, right off the bat. But the truth of it is, if you can sit down and breathe and be with yourself and not want to get up and do something else, because we always have these justifications, oh, but I have a million things to do. I've got to do this. You know, I can't sit down. I can't take this time. The truth of it really is, you're lying to yourself, because everybody can find 10, 20 minutes every day, half an hour, that you waste doing other things, but we're scared to death to be with ourselves.
And don't let anyone
quiet.
Else. I'm sorry, but just don't let anybody else make you feel guilty for it either. You know?
Yes. No, it's so true. Other people say, well, why, you know, why are you doing that? You should be doing these other things. There's so many other things that, you know, calling out to you. It's like, really? What's more important than you being connected to you? Because what happens to us, especially as women, we get weighted down by all of the stuff that is calling out to us to do. And then the next day you wake up and it's all there again. It doesn't go anywhere. You know, it's not, and there's not, you know, this is not even counting the things you want to do. These are the responsibilities that we have. And realize that responsibility literally means the ability to respond, which means a lightness. If you have really, truly the ability to respond easily and quickly, it means you're not loaded down. You're not slow and sluggy and clunky. So what does it take to have that?
Yes, you know, and just starting your day, even if you, you know, some days I wake up and I feel anxiety about things I want to accomplish and how am I going to go about it and who's going to, you know, help me, that, you know, with the parts of my business that I don't really understand and know going forward. And you know, the next thing you know is like, oh my gosh, you're deep breathing, you're not catching your breath and it's the beginning of the day. And just having a moment, you know, with yourself to reconnect to nature, God, however you can find it, or another human being where you decide, hey, just going to share some love. I'm going to give like that moment back. There's something that happens that immediately lifts the burden. You know, it really does lift the burden off of your own shoulders. And then you've created
it.
Yeah.
So right. I mean, and so many people wake up first thing in the morning anxious, and then what do? Is we go have coffee, which makes you more anxious. Okay, so I'm going to give you something that's like a really fabulous anti-anxiety thing. And if you do this whenever you feel anxious, it will help you immensely. Okay, I'm going to give you two variations because there's some people who think they can't roll their tongue. And anybody who's been around me any length of time knows sweet chili breath is so amazing, because what it does is it allows you to breathe longer than you usually do, and it cools down your parasympathetic nervous system. Your sympathetic nervous system is the one that gets you to do, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, and we can go do. And your parasympathetic nervous system is the one that says, take a break, take a moment, you know, relax, allow, become receptive. So if you make an O out of your mouth and you stick your tongue through your mouth, if you can roll your tongue like a cigarette, roll it. If you cannot, don't worry about it. Just stick your tongue through your mouth that's made into an O. And what you're going to do is you're going to inhale through that tongue, however that is, so that the air goes over your saliva. It creates a cooling system in your body. And then you're going to exhale out your nose. Okay, so we're just going to do this three or four times, but I want you to see this and feel what this can do for you. And just start out just... and then exhale out the nose. And inhale through that rolled tongue. And exhale out the nose. Inhale through roll tongue. And exhale out your nose. And inhale. Now, I'm not going to tell you that the first time you do this, you're going to have a profound experience. But I am going to tell you, if you practice this, you're going to have a profound experience with it, because you're going to go, oh, my God, I feel more clear-headed and more calm.
And by the way, you can inhale your breath much longer than I can, Missy. You've had a lot more practice at that. I'm like, oh my gosh, is she still breathing in?
It's true. But you'll find that, you know, what happens to us during our day is that our diaphragms constrict as we get anxious and tense and, you know, feel pressured by time and space. It contracts, and then our ability to breathe deeply declines exponentially. They are, you know, partners with each other. So I'm glad you said that, because I'm going to give you another really simple thing that you can do. Mm-hmm. If you feel like, oh, my God, I can't even breathe. There's no way I can do that breath at all. Mm-hmm. Do this one. It's a four-part breath. It's so, so simple. And you're just going to inhale four parts. You can do it through the nose or the mouth. The mouth is easier when you're really stressed or anxious, and you're just going to just do, and then exhale four parts. If you can close your eyes and just feel it from inside of you so you know what it really feels like. And then exhale, inhale, and exhale, inhale, exhale, and inhale. So that one's for breaking up overwhelm or anxiety, or it's an interrupter. It's really a great interrupter, because we tend to take our anxiety and our depression really seriously, right?
Yeah. Don't we? It's so big and it's so dark, and we need to bring light into it quickly. Convert it.
Right. It's like when you said that, I just saw like fat conversion, right? People think that it's so hard to convert fat. Mm-hmm. But it's much harder to convert the fat of your habits, and nothing creates habits more than your perceptions. So somebody said today, I want to, you know, feel this day differently. And I said, I want to see this day differently.
Mm-hmm.
Because how we perceive things, and you have to say to yourself, are my perceptions serving me? And if they aren't, then how about being willing to look at something from a different angle? You know, go out and buy a kaleidoscope and just look at a kaleidoscope and watch all the different patterns. And then, you know, say, wow, okay, maybe I could look at my life in a different way that's not so heavy.
Yeah. And you know what, Guru Tej, as you know, I was just down in Antigua, finishing this album, which you are on a song with me so beautifully with your gorgeous essence. And the sunsets were so unlike sunsets I've seen before. And I really believe that if we can just take that moment, if there's a way to take that moment, if it's sunrises on your schedule or sunset, or get out when the moon is bright, look at the clouds, see what's happening all around you. See the majesty that's so much greater than any of the illusions of our pain and suffering. And just take yourself into those clouds. Take yourself into that sunset. Just feel the energy and the warmth, and let it really come down and embrace your physical body. And I just know that I got into, by waking up in the mornings and ending my day like that, the creative space was so alive. And even when I come home, if I remind myself first thing to embrace the sky, embrace the magic, see something new in it every day. The cloud formations now are just so unusual. I think it's just, there's so much beauty in the clouds. See what you see. If your kids are stressed and doing homework, grab your kids and say, you know what, come outside with me for a minute. Let's take this moment. What do you see in the sky, honey? And just absorb something bigger than greater and bring greater than ourselves.
Run in the grass, you know, roll in the snow. But I'm going to tell you a technique that Keith and I do a lot of times when we take a walk on the beach. Mm-hmm. And it's really beautiful, and it's called sun gazing.
Mm-hmm.
And close your eyes almost all the way down. It's called a drunken gaze, 9/10. And then look at the sun through your heart. Just look at the sun through the heart. And I'm not even going to tell you what happens. It's really pretty amazing that at sunset, sunrise, either one will work.
Mm-hmm.
And look at the sun from your heart.
Right.
And with your eyes 9/10 closed, and I'm telling you, or you can open your eyes totally wide and still look from your heart. And it's amazing what happens.
Probably like a pulse that happens, a pulsation or something with the heart.
Oh, and the colors, and it's all sorts of things.
Yeah.
It's magnificent.
Well, plus you have this man you love standing right there who loves you, so that even
helps. Yes. That's also good, but I've done it by myself as well, and it's amazingly profound.
How happy I am in your joy because, you know, you've been such a beautiful, strong, single woman and, you know, walking without any sense of lack and just walking and sharing in your truth. And it's so beautiful when you see, you know, that become reflected in, you know, in this man that now just walked right into your life. So, you know, I really believe it's just how whole are we on our own and how whole can we be for the man that comes in that will be whole too.
Yes, you know, it's so interesting because people said to me, well, how are you going to meet this person? How are you, you know, how is this going to happen? And I was like, you know, God sending somebody to me, and the how is not up to me.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that's a really important thing to remember, that we are continuously readying ourselves for deeper relationships. And it's all about our relationship to the infinite, the other person, whether it's a child, a partner, you know, a business partner, you know, whatever it is, a friend, you know, they're all in our lives to give us a different perception and view into the infinite. That's really what they're there for. And, you know, you ask yourself, is this person giving me a bigger, you know, view of, are they a window or a door for me into the infinite? And if the answer is no, then the question is, can you be that for them?
Mm-hmm.
And if that's not possible either, then you may need to separate yourselves for a period of time so that you can actually work on that aspect, so that you can be able to play with the beloved.
Yes.
With that person.
Yes, I know. It reminds me of the title of the book that you wrote.
Yes. That's right. I forgot all about the fact that it's true. Yes, I did write that book. And when I finished, he came to help me final edit it.
Yes. I mean, isn't that perfect? You set it in motion. It was already set in motion. He was already in your life in the seed level.
Mm-hmm.
He just appeared when you were really ready.
Yes, after I wrote a book on relationships and how to actually, you know, work with them. But the interesting thing is that we are here on this planet. And to me, everything boils down to those two things, energy and relationships. Because, as you said, you looked out your window and there was that hummingbird. I have the same blessing. I have hummingbirds in my yard.
Yes.
But we can look out the window and see. We can put our feet on the floor. And either we're rushing to our house or we're having a relationship with the rug or the wood or the granite or the marble or the dirt or whatever it is that creates that floor. Or we're having, you know, how much can we be in relationship with everything that we see and touch? And
it's energy molecules anyway, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's absolutely. And remember, you know, that the power of our word is so important in this. And I know you know this, Marla, and I know you live this, and I know you realize this with your songs and everything, that word is so important.
Yes, and that's really what on the song that we've, you know, written together, and you have your beautiful voice, you know, chanting so lovely. It's about, you know, that you spoke a lot about the power of the word and how you honor that and the essence of that word. And it's going to be a blessing when people hear your music, when they hear you with song. It's going to be that moment of inner freedom that's going to, you know, help them through their day And you just, it's beautiful when the words that you believe and the life that you live come together with music, and we'll be able to share that. But we do manifest into our word. I mean, in the beginning there was the word was God, the word was with God. So like the things that come out of our mouth manifest our reality. And my goodness, how many times have I had to speak it, rewind it, and re-say it, you know?
And totally, and that's totally true, but it's like, just think if we could rewind some of the things that we had said in our life, which means take them back, right? And then think about the future. What is it that you don't want to have to rewind?
Mm-hmm.
I want to speak to people.
Mm-hmm. Think of those relationships that are challenging to you, and just play the movie out in your mind with a beautiful ending, with a joyful outcome. You know, visualize it, see it, feel it, and I'm going to do that. You know, I really want to do that in any of the relationships that I may know. Thank God, I'm very grateful. There aren't many in my path now that are so challenging, but there are a couple that, you know, we'll always kind of work on. But really visualize, if you have an opportunity when you know you're going to see that person, have the conversation and listen, you know, see it the way you would like to see it, feel it the way you would like to feel it, and let's just convert all of that into you know, something that is uplifting for both of you.
The thing that I find the most important in the power of our word is that if you take a moment before you speak and you decide, how is this going to affect me in 2 weeks or tomorrow or 50 years from now?
Mm.
And then you speak.
Mm-hmm.
Yogi Bhajan gave this really great tool too. He said, carry around a recording device and record yourself one day, all day long.
Mm.
And then at the end of the day, listen to it.
Wow.
And decide if you like the way that you spoke to other people and if you like what it was that you spoke about. Were you uplifting people? Or what were you doing?
Yeah. We can be so disillusioned about, you know, what we are to people too. And how many times have I remember, you know, as a child, you know, my mom saying to me or me saying to her, you know, if you could just hear how you sounded, you know, and now my daughter's 17 and a half and a teenager. We have a beautiful relationship, but she's becoming a teenager. You know, it's not as easy and smooth as it has been up to this point. And, you know, I'll say to her something in the mornings where they're rushing to school. I'll say something to her, and I think I've said it so beautifully, but to the point, you know, but with love. And then she'll say something that sounds like she's yelling, and I'll say, honey, don't yell. But if you could have heard yourself, mommy, you were yelling. And we're like, I wasn't yelling. You know?
Oh, our children are such
like
good
teachers. One of us, you know?
Yes. Yes.
So we just have to do better next time. You know, we just have to do better next time, or carry that recorder around.
Yeah. And we just, you know, that internal recorder that allows us to become that observer inside of ourselves. And I always think, like, what about if you thought, would I like to be spoken to this way?
Mm-hmm.
Is this adding to the lightness of the person, or is this going to create weights and hardness between us?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that hardness is really what we call it, blocks, right? You know, blocked arteries don't come from nowhere.
Right.
You know, blocked arteries between the people create huge weight issues. And those are the things that make us put on physical weight as well.
Right. And hence, you know, a lot of the title of this series is how we, it is all about how we let go of the weight that's holding us down from being our fully evolved selves. And yes, and limited thinking, you know, it's just, you want your food to digest within your body. Well, it works a lot better if you're not holding on to things too in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I think even like when our kids tell us something, it's really important to listen to them. And then the next thing that's really important is don't get guilty about it. Just go, okay, I can get better. Because the tendency is to go, screwed up again. How could I
Oh,
have done that? That wasn't my intention. But, you know, or I could just go, they are so totally wrong. You know, and it's not just with our kids, but it's with other people. It's like, can we just hear them and go, oh,
yeah.
I could say that better. I could listen better. I could.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That
So.
Allowing.
I absolutely agree with you. And even though my perception may be I wasn't yelling, it doesn't matter to her. It might have felt like it. You know, if I just said, honey, do not leave without taking your vitamins. You know, for her, it's like
absolutely.
One more thing that's coming at her in the morning. So, yeah, it's just learning how to talk, learning how to receive, and you know, and letting these things just make it a commitment to every day you're going to do a little better job. And
that was so beautiful what you said, because what you're really saying is, how can we tune into the other person and how they hear it at that moment? Because some people are not morning people, and when they're not morning people, they don't want to be talked to at all in the morning.
Yeah.
And if you're a mother of a child, that's really challenging, because you need to, like, move them along and get them going. But to them, it's like, ooh, irritating, you know?
Yeah.
How do you navigate that?
Right, right. With little notes placed around the house. No.
It comes on your third eye. You know, I just what you brought up, Marla, is like, a sense of humor is like really super, super important in every single relationship, because sometimes we can get so caught up in like what's right and what's wrong, and did we do this right, and did this, you know, is this good? Are we going to screw up our child permanently, or, you know, have we ruined this relationship or whatever? And it's like, oh my God, take a breather and laugh at yourself, you know?
Yes.
Just like really, like, do dragon breath in the mirror, you know, just go, you know, watch something on YouTube and make yourself laugh.
Yeah.
And just say, oh my goodness, all right, now I can go back. And you know, if you've got a really controlling partner, just laugh. Don't, when they start saying something really controlling, go, oh, yes, master, you know, or just something light and take it out of the combat zone that creates so much weighty material.
Yes, that's really good. That's really, really good. Just don't let it be so serious. Don't take it like a jagger into your heart. Turn it into a beautiful arrow that can give something, you know, a little joke back. I love that.
Those daggers are so darn hard to get out of the heart, aren't they? It's like, Lord, once we wedge them in there, they're like, oh, but this one is really supposed to be here because, you know, it's really, this person really meant it when they put it in there. Really? You know, you really want to walk around with a heart full of daggers?
No, and you want to really release those negative cords of attachment that can wrap around you too, from things that are said that are still holding on to you. You know, I remember going through a period of time where I really had to just kind of go through the physical idea of just cutting down those cords of negativity that can attach you energetically from people and conversations you've had that didn't go so well. And that you weren't at your greatest and you were reactive, and just, you know, releasing yourself and freeing yourself. Pop in a salty seawater bath, you know, and clean and detox yourself after any kind of argument. Just get it off your physical body, physically and visually through your meditative process. And I use some of the ices. I spray the little ices clearing on myself sometimes if I've been around a lot of energy that felt like it was pulling on me.
Oh, essential oils.
Essential
so
oils.
So good for that, yes. Oh, so good. And you know something else? If you write down whatever it is that's bugging you on a tissue, just put a marker on a tissue, then flush it down your toilet.
Really,
just that act of watching it float away.
That's
sometimes
good.
It's just very powerful. It just sucks it down and just goes, okay, it doesn't exist anymore. And when you start thinking about it again, go, you know what? It just doesn't exist anymore.
Right. And another thing I love to do is also release with love through a little, you know, ceremony with a little candle and going outside where it's safe and a tin tray and just do a little burning ceremony.
Love burning things. It's so great.
Yeah.
And you can add, like, you know, incense or sage or anything you want to it to just create more power in that. And I love chanting when you do it. This chant has been coming to me the whole time we've been on the call, so I'm going to say it because I think that I know that sometimes just doing a chant, and if you don't resonate with this one, no problem. Go
Oh,
find one you do resonate
okay,
with.
I'm so curious what it is because I've had one in my mind too. So let's
Oh,
start with
good.
yours.
This one is just wah, wah, hey, hey, wah, wah, hey, hey, wah, wah, hey, hey, guru. And wah means wow. And that's what wahe means. Guru means the one, that remover of the illusion so that you can actually see into the depth of everything, right?
Yes.
And so this one is just like, it really clears out the inside of your mouth. It clears that whole cavity. It brings up creativity and sensuality and all of those things back into your being and frees you, because your throat chakra is connected to every other chakra in your body. So let's just do this together a few times, just so that you can hear it and feel it. And if
yes.
it resonates, do it more. And you can just walk around doing this even in a whisper. But just wah, wah, hey, hey, wah, wah, hey, hey, wah, wah, hey, hey, guru. Wah, wah, hey, hey, wah, wah, hey, hey, wah, wah, hey, hey, guru. Wah, wah, hey, hey, wah, wah, hey, hey, wah, wah, hey, hey, guru. Wah, wah, hey, hey, wah, wah, hey, hey, wah, wah, hey, hey, guru. Wah, wah, hey, hey, wah, wah, hey, hey, wah, wah, hey, hey, guru. And inhale. And exhale. That was only five times, but really it can like reset your pituitary gland.
It does, and I mean, I know through, you know, your work as a Sikh, there's so many incredible breaths and stretches and postures and chants that really open up and just solve all kinds of physical and emotional issues. So I know you share a lot of that on your website, but they really, really do work. And I was reading a book about how, you know, sometimes when we're writing or singing, we sing sort of horizontal, but when we do a chant, it goes vertical. So, you know, so we're reaching and breaking through the ethers and, you know, we're creating a bond with the other dimensions. The more heavenly gates are opening for us. And when I was working on the album, I was really trying to share a lot of different spiritual paths and how alike we are. And when I was working on, I think it was Deepak Chopra's, no, I'm sorry, it was the Dalai Lama. My producer and I found the chant for compassion because I was editing. We had talked to the Dalai Lama's people and they were kind enough to work with us on a song with using his voice. And I said, it's got to be about compassion. And my producer found a chant for compassion. And on the song, I went to the recording booth and I started chanting, Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. And I'm telling you, about 12 minutes went by on the cycle of the song, and Torsten, my producer, and I were just in this trance state, and we just were filled with so much love, and it's like, we sat down, we're like, wow, this really works. And so you know, that's what I want every song to have, an element. You know, yours has a chanting also, but it really, you know, I study Kabbalah. I'm a Southern Baptist. You know, I love ancient Jewish mysticism. I study all of it. So, but I haven't really chanted that much except when I'm with you, and I love it so much. But just these chants really do work. And if I am getting intense and feeling, you know, a little bit like, oh, how can I accomplish the things that I really want to accomplish? And I'm letting life become a little too much about fighting through it. You know, what can I do? And I do a chant like this that brings compassion in, you know, it's, and even if there's someone in your life close to you that's really bugging you, and to chant that Om Mani Padme Hum, it just brings compassion in. And I'm doing that now in the mornings, the afternoons, just to remind me, no matter what, to be a compassionate soul and to tap me into that energy field of compassion. So I
love it. It's totally, I'm so happy. This is so great to hear you talking about chanting.
I know.
It's like been such a love of mine for so long, and I know, because I was in an extremely difficult marriage for many years, and I know that the thing that kept me sane was chanting and meditation and yoga. Otherwise, I would have been a complete dingbat and landed up in the institution somewhere.
There were other plans for you, Missy.
So I really understand that. And Om Mani Padme Hum, such a beautiful. And if you can get a copy of, well, when Marla's CD comes out, you'll get a copy of him doing it with her doing it. That'll be absolutely wonderful. But just that when you hear, you know, voices that actually just take you into that place, it's really important to, if you find somebody you love to chant with, chant with them. Use that CD. You know, when Marla's comes out, you'll be on the list and you'll know about it. And, you know, you'll be able to be first in line to get it.
Yes, and we're calling it Visions of Eternity. And, because I really felt like I'm just a channel. You know, I'm just a channel. I just try to open myself up to you know, what the beautiful light, divine God, you know, can use me for. And as this was coming in, I just went, wow, what we're tapping into is eternity. We want to create heaven on earth, and eternity is right here upon us. So I want each song to be a vision of eternity and just take people to that place where there's peace and there's light and they're connected to their higher self. And it's not about religion. It's about that, you know, that breath of God that's within you. And I look forward to sharing it. And I'm so happy to have you on it, sweetheart, because you're one of those voices in the world that's important, you know, to be heard, because you really help us reach our ultimate best. So thank you.
And I'm so glad to be on it, too. And I'm so glad that, you know, all of the people that are going to listen to this, you know, series, that actually will understand and stand under each other, to know that what she's talking about in sound current and chanting and her intentions in this is, when you take the time to sit down and do this, you'll find that your words become sweeter during the day. Because you have this resonance that builds up in your body and in your molecular structure. And you'll find that you have more patience, you have more kindness, you have more compassion, you have more vision, because you've taken that time to be with you and to resonate, you know, with a chant that really fulfills your essence. And then you'll find that you start losing the physical weight. Will come off when the mental and spiritual weight come off so much more easily.
I agree. And just hold a vision of that. You know, years ago when I was physically, you know, like 20, probably 35 pounds heavier than I am now, 30 pounds, you know, I just did a lot of fad diets and such, but there was a lot of emotional things that I was carrying with me. And I did started visualizing myself running free on the beach, just feeling light, feeling energetic, and just tapping in to that feeling of joyfulness. And I did that every morning and every night. And in doing that, I left that heaviness that was holding me down. And you know what? I've just really been able to maintain that, you know, since I broke free of it. Of course, no dairy and not a lot of white sugar, and there's other things that I do in my life to go with it, but it's all part of a process of really being the light being in our physical body and letting go of this heaviness around us, but visualizing, seeing it, feeling it, and believing it, and knowing that you absolutely deserve to be the best that you can be. That's your destiny.
And you're right in that. Absolutely doing that, and then realizing that, you know, there's foods that feed us, and there's things that act like food that don't feed us, and we tend to gravitate towards those things, the latter category. When we're upset about something, when our relationships aren't working, as opposed to saying, you know, what do I want to do that's really good for me? what do I want to do? To me, it's like there's nothing good or bad. It's what's effective and what's ineffective. And if you want something, then start lining up your life that what you say you want, you're acting in accordance with that. You want to lose weight? Okay. Then you don't need to go on a diet, but you do need to think about what is going in this beautiful opening of our body called our mouth, the cave of our, you know, being. And so just thinking about, you know, what is this that will feed you? Mm-hmm. And so many people know so much right now, and so many people are so clueless about what a good diet is. Mm-hmm. And I just am going to encourage you. I don't want to say anything about it. I just want to encourage you to go look online and look up alkaline diet.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you just do that, just that one thing, you start eating alkaline,
mm-hmm.
you'll find that you will feel better. You will lose your dis-ease. And when you lose your dis-ease, you have much more ease with everyone.
Mm. Yes, I believe that keeping the body alkaline is important. And we, you know, we do crave those acidic foods when we're going through some sort of anger or challenges. But yeah, that's great, great, great advice. And of course, you and I can talk so much more about the physical side of it too. But listening to your body, knowing what works for you, testing it out, leave things off that you may question aren't good for you, and see how much better you feel. Feed yourself what feeds you.
I think that's really the thing, is once you give yourself like 40 days, just say 40 days, I'm going to do this for 40 days.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at, we're a 40-day cycle. 40 mm-hmm. days Christ was in the desert, you know, mm-hmm. 40 days of Lent. Mm-hmm. We've got, you know, we're on this 40 days, 40 weeks to carry a child. We're in a 40-day cycle, so
yeah.
Our 40 cycle. So
the Omer right now, the 40 days after leaving Egypt, wandering in the desert.
That's right. 40
years.
Yes.
40 years.
It's so, it's, yeah, 40 years. That's right. And the consciousness of this is if you do something for 40 days, you get a chance to break a habit. So if you say, okay, for 40 days I'm going to try this, doesn't mean I'm going to do it for the rest of my life. Doesn't mean I have to like it. Doesn't mean I'm just going to commit to 40 days of this. And then email me. And email Marla. And let us know, how do you feel at the end of that time?
Yeah.
Because I guarantee you, you're going to feel different.
Yeah.
And I also am going to guarantee you, you're going to want to cheat a million times in that process. And then you have to go, who am I cheating?
Yeah.
Who am I cheating here right now? I'm just like, really? What are we, what?
Right. Right. Yeah. You please reach out to Guru Tej and my website. I can, you know, take emails there. Just send me a note, marlamaples.com. And yeah, let us know how you're doing and how we can, you know, help share back with you more. So we just thank you so much for being a part of our call.
Really, how can we share? You know, what is it that you need? And Marla gave you her website. I'm going to give it again, marlamaples.com. And really feel free, and she's got a great radio show. Talk about your radio show for a moment, Marla.
Well, this is just something I love. It gives me the energy to keep doing everything I'm doing. It's called Awakening with Marla. And at my website, you can go in and listen to past radio shows, or you can subscribe to the podcast. You've been on it quite a few times. It's just a way of sharing the voice of people that I feel like are helping uplift humanity, either globally or in your, you know, own community. It's just about sharing people who have a voice that really want to make a difference in the world. So it's just kind of my give back, and I love doing it. And, you know, everything, we just hope that, you know, you can find that thing that you can be passionate about and tune into it more, because I never thought 2 years ago I'd be shooting a music video and doing an album. You know, oh my gosh.
How wonderful is that, right? How fabulous is that to go,
I just had my eyes and my heart open, and I said, don't let your fear get in the way. And, you know, and the next thing I know, it's like, wow, I'm completing this 10-song album very soon. And it's great. And I have a wonderful, you know, album now, One World of Love, that I'm so happy to be able to share with everyone listening. And that's part of my gift back to you also. And it's all about, you know, what can we do to connect and uplift, you know, humanity and our own souls in the process.
all for being on this call, and thank you all for attending. And I look so forward to hearing how these calls have served you to help you in your lives, because that's the most important thing. It's like really to give the gift of everything that we've learned, both Marla and I, over all these years, that we know have worked. We're not just giving you tools that we think are cute or things that somebody else told us, but things that we've actually done and have found have made profound changes in our lives, and that we hope that you embrace them and they do the same in yours.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bless
blessings,
you.
Blessings, blessings, everyone. With so much love, Guru Tej, and to all of you listening. Thank you so much for joining us. May we all gather and do this again soon.
Satnam. Bless you all.
Satnam.